All right, it's October. A lot of the speckled trout have made the transition from the offshore to the inshore waters up into the interior marshes. We got beautiful weather, moderate temperatures, lots of sunshine and blue skies, very little wind, and some decent tide range. What you going to do in Grand Isle? Well, let's talk to Darrell Carpenter and find out. Darrell, how's it looking? And did you guys catch a lot of fish this week like most folks did along the coast?
Don, it was all the reports were amazing. I mean, it took, once that wind quit blowing, it took maybe 2 days for the water to clean up. That's the benefit, I guess, of having a low river. But it took about 2 days for the water to clear up and the fish bounced right back. Was a little bit concerned that maybe that front got cool enough that it pushed some of those fish from the lower bays, you know, up into the marsh. But that doesn't seem to be the ticket. They haven't moved yet. We generally get until around Thanksgiving before that really happens. But yeah, there's still fish scattered everywhere. You've got a lot of larger fish that are still down on the lower coast on the open water oyster reefs and stuff. And you know, those are much larger fish. You're not gonna have to fool with very many throwbacks and that type of thing. The bite might be a little bit slower, but you're not going to fool with the throwbacks. You get up into the marsh, and there again, there's fish everywhere. It's just there. You're going to start fooling with the throwbacks. Most of our stuff has all been done on plastic lately. It's a good time of the year to make sure that you have that live bait with you as a backup plan. If not, you could, I mean, they're running big enough. You can always take them home and use them as a topping for your fried fillets. But especially you get up in that marsh where you got all those knotheads still running around, you certainly don't want to be using strictly live bait there, because you'll spend more time baiting the hook than you will actually fishing.
Yep. How's the white trout run going?
Oh, they're doing well, Don. Got some larger ones that are, you know, they're scattered, if you would, on those reefs and stuff. Every now and then you'll catch a white trout with them. Your deeper holes. You know, up and down that east-west Louisiana Canal, whatever name you want to call it, you get those deeper holes, you can sit there with some dead shrimp and just wear them out.
You know, what would you say is your release size for white trout? What do you, you know, there's no size limit, there's no bag limits, and it's a great fish to include in a fish fry, and you've got that great tip to where you freeze them with the batter on them, and they stay really nice for quite a while, and you know, they don't get mushy. But what is the cutoff? What would you say would you keep? What's the smallest white trout? Same as a speck, 12, 13 inches or smaller?
Well, Don, it all depends on what's going on. If I got a box full of specks, it's very rare a white trout's going to hit it. If it's one of those days we're struggling, yeah. But that, it depends on the customer. If they're willing to eat them whole instead of filleting them, we'll just scale them and, you know, let them fry them whole like a brim or a sacalay. If the freezer's empty and I'm not well stocked on crab trap bait, then you know what? If he's 6 inches long, he's going in the freezer. So it's a little bit, you know, I guess it depends on the circumstance, but you're not going to get a decent fillet off of one that's not at least 12 to 13 inches long. You can scale them, and that's another way to keep the meat from falling apart is you scale them, dehead them, just like you were doing a perch or something like that. And you can fry them that way. And, you know, that's there. You know, if you got to keep that 10, 11-inch fish, then that's perfectly fine there because you just peel it off the bone.
Do you find that the white trout mix in schools with the specks, or is it pretty much segregation, that you only catch specks in one school and only catch white trout in another? I've had it both ways.
Well, this time of the year, they're probably going to be, it depends. I mean, like, if you're on that oyster reef, they're going to be mixed, and you can generally tell when it's a white trout that hits it, because I don't care if that white trout's 10 inches long, he's going to hit it with an attitude. Yeah. Sometimes those specks will get a little soft mouth, and it's, you know, you're wondering, was that really a bite, you know, kind of thing. You're not going to wonder that with a white trout. But you get into, if you go and target them and you go look for one of those deep holes where they're already starting to congregate, there you're probably going to have the majority nothing but white trout.
When can we expect the sheephead to start ganging up? It's a little early yet. When do they start
ganging
up?
Yeah, it's a little early. We usually don't turn our attention to it until the specks start slowing down for us, which is usually around that Thanksgiving time frame. But anywhere, you know, we get a few more good cold fronts come through here, and the water start dropping, the temperature start dropping. the sea pan will start ganging up on the oyster reefs, and then that'll run all the way through into March. You know, February and March, when they really start leaving out of the marsh and head into those nearshore platforms to spawn.
Yeah, well, maybe we can get together and do a TV feature on that and demonstrate, you know, the sheephead and how they get stacked up. And, you know, so when it gets really hot and heavy, man, give me a holler, and we'll try to get out there and get that done and show people how to take advantage of a really, I think, underutilized species.
We can do it as long as you bring in a fillet knife with you.
Oh, look, I can handle that. I can do a sheephead. Daryl, if somebody wants to get in on some of that fun times you guys are providing for people down there, tell them how to get a hold of you.
Well, you know, Don, they can find me on your site along with a lot of other useful information at DonTheOutdoorsGuy.com. They can find me on RealScreamers.com or just pick up the phone at 225-937-6288.
All right, and have a good trip today, and we'll catch up with you next week.
It's going to be a good one, Don, as long as you're in that perfect time where it's all happening, but the gnats hadn't shown up yet.
Ooh, don't say that. Go get it.
Have a good one, sir.
All righty. That's our Carpet, the realscreamers.com.